are a subject. Just keep on praying. In the Bible, there's a little book. Goes by the name of Nehemiah. One time, all I thought about this book was a little pun or a little joke. He was knee high. That's as tall as he was. But when you begin to study and read the book of Nehemiah, you will find that this was a praying man. And if you want to study a good book in the Bible on leadership, I challenge you to study the book of Nehemiah. I challenge you to study that book. You will come away from there with some good leadership rules. Because the first rule that he constantly kept and applied, he stayed on his knees. And you just got to pray if you're going to lead people. You have to be a praying person. Someone have said, if there's prayer in the pews, there will be power in the pulpit. I won't change that, but I'll add to it. If there's praying in the pulpit, there will be power in the pews. Because if you're going to preach this gospel, you just got to pray. Because if you're going to preach this gospel, you're going to be trying to lead people. And people will put you on your knees. They will make you stay on your knees. You will have to get permission to stand up because you will be so used to being on your knees that you will just stay there. It will just get to be a normal thing. And I'm glad about that because then you will always be looking to the hill from whence cometh your help. Just keep praying. Don't quit. Boldness and bold and righteous leaders are needed today. Being just bold is not enough. Because uncontrolled boldness can violate the rights of people. There are a lot of bold people in the world. They say whatever they want to say and call themselves God-fearing folks. And they can find something in the Bible to back up what they're saying. But uncontrolled boldness is just like putting an elephant in a china shop. You're going to come up with a lot of stuff that's broken. Because if you are uncontrolled, you will violate the rights of other people. You will dominate them and you will trample them underfoot. But being just righteous is not enough. Because without initiative and the courage to follow through with ideals and projects, nothing will be accomplished. So while boldness is needed in a leader, their boldness must be controlled by righteousness. A leader must know right from wrong and know what is right and know how to do the right thing at the right time. He or she must act decisively and boldly carry out the acts of righteousness. In addition to boldness and righteousness, there's a cry for the need of a visionary leader. Leaders who will challenge us with great visions of the future. Most people want an idea to follow. A cause to which they can commit themselves, a purpose for living, a goal to strive for, a task that is fulfilling, and a work that is satisfying. But first comes the vision. Someone somewhere has to have a vision. Somewhere I remember here said, a people without a vision will soon perish. You got to have a vision in your mind. You have to have some kind of idea what you think about how your life is going to be. If you don't have a vision and you don't plan for yourself, you'll be in bad shape. Yeah, yeah. Young people, know what you want to do. Know where you want to go. Because if you don't, there's somebody else that knows where you need to go and what you need to do. But you will have no say-so in it. You must have a plan for yourself. And I hate to keep talking about me, but I don't know anything about nobody else's life. I'm standing preaching where I have preached before when there was not a building here. I'm standing preaching right where I stood before. Because a vision was placed there. And when you follow God, God will help you, but you got to just keep praying. You got to pray. Because if you don't pray, your vision will not come to pass. If you plant seeds, good seeds in good soil, you still got to take care of them. That's right. You got to fertilize it, and you got to water it, and you got to pull weeds, and you got to take care of it. That's the vision. That's the leader. But you got to pray.
Yes, sir.
You just got to pray. Because you have to talk to God. Point number one. Change in hearts is the work of God. Change in hearts is the work of God. So many of us try to change people that we are witnessing to. You cannot do that. That is not your job. That's the job of God. God will change them. And I'm going to try not to get ahead of myself in this message because we need to understand that when we follow the plans of God, it will work. And when you follow the plans of God, you'll have to do just like Nehemiah did. Nehemiah ran the risk of talking to the king. In the Eastern culture, in the time that the Bible was written, if you were a servant to the king, no matter what had just happened to you, when you got in the presence of the king, you had an expression of everything is A-okay. Everything is all right. Nothing can be wrong because the king does not need to see or know anything about this going bad. Nehemiah was a slave, y'all. And he was in front of the king, and he went in front of the king, and his countenance was bad, was sad. When you go back over and you read chapter 1 and get up to where we are now, you will find that Nehemiah had a reason to be sad. He had been talking to some of his brothers that had been on a vacation. Nehemiah had not been on a vacation because he was the cupbearer to the king. So he did not get a vacation. These guys were Jews and had been back to Jerusalem. Nehemiah saw them when they got back and knew where they had been, and he questioned them. And I know y'all Bible scholars, and you know that some of them had already gone back to Jerusalem with Ezra and who was it, Zerubbabel? Of them that had gone back to Jerusalem, and they had started building the temple and building everything back. So Nehemiah knew all of this, and so these guys had been to Jerusalem, and when they got back, Nehemiah asked them, said, how are things at home? You know how it is. You see somebody from home. How are things at home? And they put in to tell you. And some of it makes your heart heavy. They told Nehemiah about the gates being burned and the walls being down and everything in disarray. Their things were not going well. So this had an effect on Nehemiah. And see, that's why you got to just keep praying. They told Nehemiah, let's say about back in December. This is April when he's in front of the king. And it said Nehemiah had been praying for many days. See what the mistake that us church folks make now. When we leave this place and we say amen, we want to be through praying. But I stop by to tell you, it just began. You need to pray without ceasing. What, First or Second Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17? I don't know which, but I know it says pray without ceasing, meaning that you do not stop praying. Nehemiah prayed from December to April. And then when he gets in front of the king, his countenance does not look like it has always looked. See, that's why sometimes when you think people don't pay any attention to you, we watching you. We seeing when you come in here with this long face. Just don't say anything to your body. Just going to see how long you're going to keep it. And so Nehemiah came in there this day, and the king said something to him. Nehemiah knew that he was not allowed to show emotions, but sometimes you just can't help it. It gets so heavy on you. You have to let it come down. The Artaxerxes saw this, and you heard him when I read it. It said he brought wine before the king. And he was questioned by the king. Nehemiah put in to tell the king what all was wrong. And see, it's one thing about the Eastern culture. They had a great respect for their forefathers. I hadn't planned this, but I'm going to put my footsies in my mouth here today. They had a great respect for their forefathers, where they buried their forefathers. They wanted it to look good. They didn't want it when they passed by there, they think it was a junk pile. When somebody passed by their father's grave, they wanted it to look like it was somebody that was buried there. And so Nehemiah told the king that the gates were burned and the sepulchres and everything was messed up. And then this touched the heart of the king. And then the king, see, sometimes you got to know what you're going to say. You got to prepare yourself for when you're going in somewhere. That's why you got to always be ready. The Boy Scout motto says, be prepared. Was not a Boy Scout, but I know what the motto was. You got to be prepared. You got to know that just as soon as I get a chance, I'm going to testify. I'm going to tell somebody about the goodness of God. Don't have to have a plan. Don't have to have a script. But I got it deep down in my heart. Nehemiah might not have had anything written down, but I just believe in them 4 months when he was praying and he was talking to God. He was telling God all about what he wanted and what he needed. See, that's what we have to do. Sometimes you got to rehearse yourself. You got to stand in front of the mirror and talk to yourself and talk to your God when nobody else will hear you. God will change the hearts of people. So many times we try to change the hearts of people. Look at Proverbs chapter 21, verse 1. It says, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of the waters is, he turns it whithersoever he will. If you got something that you need from somebody, take it before God. Talk with God about it. And this verse promised me that God would turn the heart of those people that need to be turned if I intend to do his will. It will make people appear just like they're willing to do whatever you have for them to do. But you got to turn it over to God. You can't plan to go in here and change my mind. You got to talk to God, and God will change the hearts of kings and men. If he turned the river, he can turn me. If God tell the river, I want you to go west, the river goes west, because God said, you read Genesis, ain't you? When he started doing it, all he was doing, you find every time you find where it said, God said, keep reading. Something was done. But when God said something was done, that's why he can change the hearts of people. And he does not have to depend on you. He needs you to do what you are supposed to do. But if you listen to God, he'll fix it. They sung that song. He'll fix it. All you got to do is just trust in God and just keep right on praying. Don't quit. Don't stop. Because prayer changes things. Point number two. Prayer and waiting goes together. Just like lettuce and tomatoes. Just like pork and beans, prayer and waiting, fish and bread, grits and eggs, it all goes together. When you pray, you ought to have your mind made up that I'm going to have to wait a little while. And see, I figured out what waiting does for you. It marinates you. It makes you tender. It makes you easier to get along with. If you don't believe it, you find a joker that's in trouble and pray. You can get him to do just about anything you want him to do. Don't care how hard-headed and trifling he's been before. If the joker's in trouble and he's praying, he'll do whatever you need for him to do. That's why you got to wait on God. It's not that God is slow, but he just... I keep telling y'all, he got a sense of humor. He want to say, now I'm going to see. God doesn't say this, y'all, but this is how Dwight Baggett make himself see. I'm going to see what this joker going to do now. I'm going to see how long he going to keep asking me for. And I think he does just like he did Daniel in chapter 9. He already answered it. It's already there. I'm coming. But I ain't got sense enough to see it. Don't know it's right there. Praying and waiting goes together. I told you earlier that Nehemiah had waited 4 months. He had the chance to come before God. Listen, you don't find too many times in the Bible when people prayed and it was there, just like that, lickety split. Just like that. When we pray, before we get through praying, we want the answer standing right there in front of us. Before I finish asking him for what I need, God, you better send it here. I don't ask you. I ask you. But you need to get used to waiting. You remember Hannah, don't you? Samuel's mama. She went to the temple and she prayed. The priest thought she was drunk because he saw her mouth moving and didn't hear any words coming out of her mouth. Woman, what you doing in here drunk? Get out of here drunk. She said, brother, I'm not drunk. My mouth was moving, said, because my heart was talking to God. What she was asking God, he couldn't hear. It wasn't none of his business. Even though he was a priest, it wasn't his business. But she was talking to God, and God heard her. She had been coming out, and it was a disgrace for a woman that was married not to have a son. She didn't have a son. Her husband had two wives, and she was the first wife, and she had no son. The other wife had son, and she poked fun at her and made fun of her. Talked about her bad. But she didn't. But she went before God, and she talked to God. Go back home. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Prayer and waiting. Lettuce and tomatoes. Hamburger and a bun. That goes together. Love and marriage. If you pray to an almighty God. If you pray to an almighty God. You ought to have just enough sense to say, Lord, I'm trusting in you. I'm leaning and I'm depending on you. God, you haven't failed me yet, and I don't expect you to fail me now. Hannah prayed, y'all, and 9 months, a little better than 9 months later, Samuel was born into this world. The next year, her husband tried to get her to go to the temple. She said, no, I ain't going. Said, because I told God something. And when I tell God something, after God does what he's going to do, I need to do what I'm going to do. She had promised God, said, God, if you just give him to me,
Just give him to me. Said, I'll bring him back and I'll give him back to you. Ain't God all right? When God does what you ask him to do, you ought to do what you promised God that you going to do. Help me, Holy Ghost. I thank you for your word. I made God a promise. I promised God something a long time ago. I said, God, and I'm not going to tell you what I promised him, but I promised God. I said, God, if you do this for me, I'll preach your word. I'll do whatever you want me to do. Doesn't matter what people think about me. I'll do what you want me to do. God did what he said, what I asked him to do. And now I'm doing what thus saith the Lord. That's what Hannah did. She loved that boy. She wouldn't let him go anywhere. He tried to get her to go to the temple. She would not go until she had her heart fixed so she could give him back to God. And then when she went, she left him there. And God's a good God. God will fix you so you can do what you need to do for him. See, we don't want to wait on God. You got to wait on God because God's not in a hurry, because time is in his hand. You just got to just keep on praying. When it looks like nothing's going to happen, just keep on praying. When everybody talk about you and call you sorry, no good, just keep on praying. If you just keep on praying, God will do just what you ask him to do. I know he will. Well, what we fail to see is that time is in the hands of God. He does not have to work on my time schedule. I need to work according to his time schedule. A thousand years is as a day. And a day is as a thousand years. So why does he need to hurry up and do something in 15 years? Abraham told him to leave from where you are. Say, Abraham, I'm going to bless you. All the nations in the world will be blessed because of you. Abraham, 75 years old. God told him that. Abraham's somewhere in reading this between 12, Genesis 12 and 12 and 49, you'll read about Abraham. And then now Abraham was talking to God one time, and he said, God said, I don't have an heir for me. And you talking about, I'm going to have somebody. I'm going to have children. Then his wife tried to help him out, tried to help God out. Don't y'all feel bad towards Sarah, because there ain't no one of y'all that I'm looking at that ain't tried to help God out some kind of way when God was doing something in your life. But you wanted to hurry it up and get it done. That's what Sarah did. She tried to help God out and made a royal mess out of it, just like we do. But see, when you pray and you wait on God, hamburger and a bun, lettuce and tomatoes, grits and eggs. I like my eggs sunny side up, but it's still egg. If they go together, that's what you got to do. Abraham had asked God for an heir, and God granted it. Although it might have been 25 years later in Abraham's life, it wasn't long with God. When you got all the time that there is in the world, when you can look at the beginning of time and you can look at the end of time in the same eye blink. See, there's no difference in it. It's all the same. Abraham had to wait 25 years, but God answered it. And sometimes the longer you wait on something, the better it is. Have you ever been in the house and you've been hungry and you could smell the food that was cooking, but you couldn't eat? But when you got a chance to get it, wasn't it so good? It was better than it would have been if you would have got it when you first start smelling it. That's the way God is. God knows when to grant what he needs for you to grant to you so you can do his will. Prayer and waiting goes together. Listen, you have not learned to pray until you have learned to wait on God. When you wait on God, everything will be all right. You don't have a say-so in when God will answer, but you have the say-so to ask him. And then when you ask him, you can take a seat and wait on God. You know that it's coming. I don't know when and I don't know where, but Lord, you promised me if I live like you want me to live, you would grant it. And I'm asking you, not in myself, but I'm asking you in the name of Jesus the Christ. I'm going to wait. I'll help the Holy Ghost. That some of you that I'm looking at now, you're not doing what God would have you to do, but I'm waiting on you. I done prayed for you. I'm waiting on you. God done promised me that he gonna bring you, and I'm waiting on him. I ask him. He done brought some of them. They're already here. Some of them are here, but they are not here. They are here, but they are not here. They're here in the body. They're not here in the spirit, but I'm waiting on God. Hamburger and a bun. I'm waiting on God. I done prayed, and prayer will be answered. If you pray, you can touch the heart of God. When you talk to him, I talked to him. I said, Father, Abba, my Father, the one that breathed into the nostrils of Adam, the breath of life. I'm calling on you because you said, call me, ask me, and I will do it in the name of Jesus the Christ. I'm waiting. Point number three. And this what get a lot of us right here. Faith is not a substitute for planning and action. Faith is not a substitute for planning and action. Nehemiah had a plan. When he went before the king, he knew what he was going to ask for. See, that's why you got to be prepared. I just believe the day before Nehemiah asked the king this, he had been in his presence. I believe he had been in his presence. But it wasn't time for him to ask him. He wasn't ready. When you read that passage of scripture, listen. He knew how long it was going to take, because he had figured it out and had talked with people. See, God will put people in your way. When he gets you on a journey, he'll put people in your way that can help you do what you need to do. But you got to have been talking to God so much that you will recognize those people that God put in your presence. I know y'all think I'm crazy, but you have to talk to God and know that when those people come in your area. If you're a member here and you wasn't here when I got here, you here now because I asked God. God, don't let nobody become a member of this church who you don't want here to do what you have for them to do. I ask God that. I ask him that. Don't let anyone come. Don't care how rich or how poor. Those are only the ones that you want here to do your will. And if you're not a member here, don't you stop coming, because you will read what God got for you and you will be here. You'll be here. See, you have to know that, because you have a plan. God puts a plan in you, and that's why you keep praying. You keep praying because God won't tell one person everything that he is going to do. Amen. Yes, he will put a leader. That's why, if you remember in the introduction, I said the leader have to be a visionary. If you're a leader and you can't vision things, you're in the wrong business. You ought to be following. It's not bad to follow because all leaders were followers at one time. But you got to have a vision. You have to have a vision, and you have to have a plan, and you have to know what it is. Where is it? That guy sitting right there. He didn't come to this church because of himself. He came because God knew that we were going to need somebody that knew something about building. He's not a contractor, but he's an engineer. And God put it in him how he wanted this building to look. I just told him what my vision, what I visualized. And him and God worked the rest of it out, along with the rest of the people that were on the building committee. If you're going to lead people, you need to have a vision. And you need to talk to the master, and the master will put people around you that can do what he needs to be done. One of the things that they did in this building that I thought was going to be a flub up was that, what do you call that stuff around, that runs around the edge of the wall? The molding. I saw something around there. I couldn't see what it was. Him and the committee did it. And to me, it's one of the best things that's in the building today. It sets it off. Why are you telling us this? If you pray and you have a plan and you put it into action and you trust in the Lord, then God will provide just what he needs. But you have got to keep praying. We're going to put up a building. Okay. What else? You got to have a plan, and then you have to put your plan into action. You have to put it into action. And this is what Nehemiah did. But while his plan was being put into action, y'all, he was still praying. He did not stop praying. There is no problems if you plan and you take action along with your plan. Don't just have a plan. When you ask God for something, know what you are asking him for. And don't just ask God for something if he's not going to get the glory from it. This edifice ought to be to the glory of God, and it is. God gets the glory. If God's not going to get the glory out of stopping me from lying, then I need to keep right on lying. But if God gets the glory out of me, stop lying, then he's justified in doing it. God's not going to do something if he's not going to get the glory from it.
That's right.
Well, God, I've heard people say this. I sure hope God will let me win the lottery. What good is it going to do God if you win the lottery? I mean, what good is it going to do him? All you're going to do is buy you a fine, what's that $100,000 car, Bentley, something like that, or build you a great big old house. Is God going to get the glory from that? No. God need to get the glory for what he blessed you with. And on a smaller scale, a better job, is God going to get the glory from it? Or a job, is God going to get the glory from you getting a job? Talk with them about it. Get a plan and talk to God about your plan. You don't have to be going to build a $50 million building to talk to God. God, give me a job making minimum wage for 40 hours a week, and I'll bless you. I know most people don't want to work for minimum wage, but you got to start somewhere. Minimum wage beat no wage. Minimum wage beat no wage. You ain't got a job and you won't work for minimum wage, you crazy. And I'll look at you and tell you that. Listen, if you have plans, your plans must be subordinate under what you intend to do for God. Nothing exceeds God. If you put in a job in front of God, then God don't need to give you that job. He's going to elevate something higher than him. Everything that God does must be subordinate to him. There is only one God. If you're going to count to 100, you will not get to one again. You can get to several numbers that will equal that, but you won't get to one again. One. There is no one. Nothing must supersede God. And that's what happens to some of us sometimes when we pray to God and he blesses us. What he blesses us with become more important than God. No, it's not supposed to be that way. When we pray, our prayers must be seconded by our serious effort, or else we mock God with them. If the effort that you are putting into prayer, if it does not elevate God, exalt God above whatever you're doing, you don't need to do it. Because what you're doing is not, nothing goes in front of God. Nothing, not a thing. Everything is under him. When we pray to him, if we just keep praying, God will supply our need. But you have to get yourself in a position where you are submissive to God. Nothing else comes before God. You have to put him first. And if you just keep praying, you will pray when times are hard. You will pray when times are bad. And then when times get good, you will not stop praying because it would have become a habit. Point number four. Everything that is granted comes from the hand of God. Nothing this granted, if it does not come from God, it will not last long. You hear of people winning the lottery, and then 6 months later, they're broken in debt. That would tell me it didn't come from God. Because before they got it, they were in debt. And they didn't have the X number of millions of dollars. But now they're broken, father in debt, and they've spent all that money. So anything that comes from the hands of God, it will last. It will last. That is why, brothers and sisters, you cannot lose your salvation. Because God granted it. And he will not take it back. You can mess up and backslide and lose rewards, but you still will be saved. And we say sometimes, if I can just get in the door, that's those people that all they did was get saved and did nothing else, didn't get any rewards. They still are in the house, but they are almost out the house, but they're in the house. So my point is that what you need to do once you are saved is continue to work. Continue to pray. Don't pray for God to save you. And once you get convinced that God saved you, stop praying. You got to keep it. You got to keep praying. You got to stay with it. Everything that we have comes from God. All good and perfect gifts come from the Lord. We have to get to a place where we know that everything happens to us, it depends on God. Even if brothers and sisters make it bad, all you got to do is keep looking to God. When trouble comes your way, keep looking to God. When bad things happen to you, keep looking to God. Because when you look to God, when things are difficult, You are telling God, God, I don't know nowhere else to go. Nobody else would take me, but I'm going to stay on my knees and I'm going to keep praying. We have to stay there because that's our communication link with heaven. That goes further than Sprint and Verizon. You can talk to God when you can't talk to anybody else. When you talk to God and you don't have to worry about where you're going to hear it next week. You know that nobody will tell, God will tell nobody that's not going to help you out. When we talk with God, he will listen to us. Sometimes I think God's just like most of these little children over here. Sometimes grown folks will be sitting around and they'll be talking. They'll say something they ought not to say in front of children. You think they didn't hear you. They did. They heard you. Next week when the teacher call you and tell you, little Johnny, or little Susie, And then they say, when you get them home, you ask them, where did you hear that? And they scared to tell you because they know they'll get a beat down if they tell you where they heard it from. But most of the time they would have heard it because we think they're not listening. And see, that's why you don't ever need to stop talking to God, because when you think he's not listening, you have his full attention. And don't ever think that he's not watching you. For it says he sets high and he looks low. We need to stay in prayer. No matter how bad life situations are treating you, you need to stay in prayer. And whenever he bless you, not if, when he bless you, you just ought to tell him thank you. You ought to just say thank you. And if you really want to thank him, start thanking him before it comes. Start thanking him for bringing that wayward child home when the child's out there. Start thanking him for that husband that's not going to church. Start thanking him for that deacon that won't pray. Start thanking him for that preacher that won't listen to you. Start thanking God before you see the materializing of what you're asking him for. Walk in it. Believe in it. Know that God will provide just what you need. Just because I would not stop praying, I kept right on praying. You have to keep on praying. When you don't see your way out, you need to pray. When you think you do see your way out, you need to pray. Prayer changes things. More than changing things, prayer changes people. You got to pray. And when all else fails, pray again. I'm through. Let me tell you a story. Back in the late part of the 1800s, an old mother was riding a train. She was on the train with a bunch of dignitaries, and she was unlearned, but she was Holy Ghost filled. She started praying to herself first, silently. The more she prayed, the louder she got. After a while, you couldn't hear anything but her praying. The conductor come along and told her, said, ma'am, said, you are disturbing the other clients. She said, I'm sorry, said, but I got something to pray about. Said, they have allowed me to see my son before he get killed, hanging. Said, so I got something to pray for. And she kept right on praying. The conductor walked in the next seat, and there was a little boy there, and he asked her, said, give me your ticket, son. And he said, I don't have a ticket. He said, well, what you doing on here? He said, the train is going where I need to go, and I got on the train. He said, but you have to have a ticket. He said, I don't have a ticket. The conductor pulled a cord. The train stopped. He put the little boy off the train. The old lady, the mother, kept praying. Put the boy off the train. The train drove off. Went about 500 yards and it stopped. The mother kept praying. The mother kept praying, but she did one thing different. She wasn't praying out loud. She was praying to herself. And to herself, she was saying, God, it's about night and this child's going to be out here at night. He's going to be all alone and he's going to be scared. So God, this child does not need to be out here. Saying it's not another train coming along. So God, will you do something? And just as she said that, the train, the engine on the train stopped. They had a engineer on there who worked on the train. They got him. He looked at it. He couldn't figure out why it wouldn't go. The old lady grabbed the conductors by the hand. She said, try putting it in reverse. He put the train in reverse. And it backed all the way up to where the little boy was, and it stopped. And then when it stopped, they didn't ask the little boy to get back on. He tried to make it go farther backwards, and it wouldn't go any farther. He put it in front, in forward, and it wouldn't go anywhere. The old lady looked out the window. She said, Mr. Conductor, will you get the little boy and put him on the train? The conductor said, no, I'm not. She said, get him and put him on the train. He said, and the train will move. He went out there and got the little boy and brought the little boy on the train and put the little boy in the seat. And as soon as he put him in the seat, he put it in gear and the train started going. A prayer changes things when you just keep right on praying. God will answer your prayer, but you got to know without a shadow of a doubt that God will answer prayer, but you got to just keep on praying. You can't quit. Imitation. Will you stand? And if you don't know Jesus, listen to me. If you don't know Jesus, this is your time, because somebody have been praying for you to get saved, for you to come to Christ. This could be your time. Will you come